This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills radio network.
All right, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left. Will. 1, 2, 3.
It's Geico's countdown to kickoff on the Bills Radio Network. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Here's your host, Schoep and the Bulldog.
Well, it's an odd starting time. I mean, in terms of the history of the NFL, it's an odd starting time. A Monday at 5. But nonetheless, a big game and a marquee game for the Bills and on their schedule as they host the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs in 2 hours. We're getting you ready for kickoff. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, soon to be joined by Steve Tasker and Chris Brown. It's the Bills and the Chiefs with John Murphy and Steve Tasker with the play-by-play from the Northwest Bank broadcast booth, which today is actually at the game where the game's being played, right at the same place. Did that make sense? Northwest Bank.
What a concept.
They will actually be at this game. Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Today's broadcast presented by Univera Healthcare. Compare because you care at univeraforbusiness.com. The weather, sponsored by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. I don't know how to spell it, but high of 50 degrees and wet.
How do you spell that? You were good with I think people understand what that means.
I mean, right?
if you had
tickets to a game, could you do worse? Not that anybody does anymore.
I mean, it could be colder, you know, like 36 in this. And really, honestly, I'm glass half full. Could be a lot windier, too. It's not supposed to be windy. Thinking of the Eagles game last year, home game, that was just, the conditions were brutal. There was precipitation, but the wind was blowing like a consistent 20 miles an hour or more. And the forecast I saw had winds at like 6 to 10 miles an hour. So at least on that front, maybe throwing the ball won't be prohibitive.
You're right. 50 is not 40. I've got the bones to prove it, by the way. 50 is definitely not 40. All right, the opening segment of Countdown to Kickoff, which happens to be the beginning of our show here. We haven't talked yet today, but that's how it felt. Brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Western New York, proudly serving the Buffalo and Rochester areas. Bills and Chiefs. The Chiefs and Bills both coming off a loss. Their first losses of the season. The Bills losing to Tennessee on Tuesday, right? And the Chiefs losing last Sunday at home to the Raiders. Kind of a shocker. So 4-1, and I mean, this is big. It's big in a lot of ways. It's big for, you know, your standings. It's big for the perception of your team to whatever extent that matters to you. A lot on the line here for the Bills as they face Kansas City.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, look at the standings. I'll tell you, there's now two teams ahead of you at 5-0, Tennessee and Pittsburgh. And you've already lost a head-to-head with Tennessee. So if you want to, you know, run the race for a top seed, now you've got some work to do in that area because you're chasing a couple of teams for the first time this year. That's what, like, losing one game will do this early in the season to you. And, Kansas City is, you know, this is the, I think, gold standard, at least going into the season. And I think even five games in, despite their losing last week at home to Las Vegas, I think Kansas City is still that team. And so we'll see. I mean, the Bills are, scrambling the deck a little bit here, shuffling the deck, if you prefer. I think that's the correct way to say that. With their defensive line, with some notable regular starters or guys in heavy rotation being inactive, and some lesser-known names getting a chance, and we'll see if that makes any bit of a difference here defensively, because they had a very rough outing. Really, they've had a tough time most of the year, but gave up 42 points last week to Tennessee, and here come the Chiefs with just talent all over the field.
One thing, or one team, the Bills are not chasing is New England, which is now 2-3 and in third place, two games behind the Bills. Miami is not only in second in the division, but they have the fourth best point differential in the NFL at this point, the Dolphins at plus 47, which is better than Kansas City's plus 39 and definitely better than the Bills minus 3, even with the Bills 4-1 record. Let's get to the roundtable with Steve Tasker and Chris Brown. The Dunn Tire Roundtable brought to you by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills. Nobody's winded, right?
We're good.
Nah, we're good.
All right. Steve, I'm glad to hear this.
Yeah, I had to really, really, you know, put the spurs to Brownie to get him over here. He's dragging his feet.
You still got it. The walk, right? Across
the
parking
lot. Come on. You guys had one of those Gator John Deere tractor.
Yes, we did.
I
pulled in every favor I had with the organization and got a 200 yard.
He was adamant
rider.
Too.
We got a 200 yard ride in a Gator, so we didn't have to walk the extra 200 yard. Then we walked the 150 from the gate to the booth.
It makes a big difference. Mike and I used to have to make the reverse walk over to where you guys, I think, close to anyway, where you guys are doing your regular noon to three from.
No Gator.
On games, we used to have to leave the press box and get over there, and that was always a bit of a scramble.
No Gator for us.
No Gator for us. We didn't rate.
Let's say that they got it because there's nothing else to do if you drive the Gator.
That's true.
This year.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to remember here, maybe it's not that hard, but with the oddness, the odd nature of this game in terms of the schedule, I mean, there's a lot at stake here for the Bills, Chris, against the champs.
Right, and both teams 4-1, and I know it's only week 6, but, you know, Steve and I were discussing this on the show earlier. You're already thinking about jockeying for AFC position. There's a lot of teams that are off to a pretty good start here, and I think Steve mentioned it earlier on the show when he was talking about you drop to 2 losses, you could run the risk, you know, of dropping a few spots in this race here. And, man, you know, you talk about conference record as an early tiebreaker when going against teams in your conference that are not in your division. And you'd like to have this one over the Chiefs, for sure.
How about these teams right now, coming off losses last week? I mean, Kansas City, to me, Steve, Kansas City is Kansas City. Like, that loss to the Raiders, even though for a stretch of that game, I believe they were outscored 30-3 after having the lead there.
Right.
I mean, I don't think there's any shine off this team.
No, I think they're used – when they lose games, which is not that frequently, that's how they lose them. You know, a team manages to hang a big number on them. And so for them, they can look back at it and say, yeah, this time we didn't do A, B, or C, or whatever it usually is for them. I mean, I thought they played their game. Certainly the Raiders did some things defensively that amounted to nothing – well, I say nothing more, but nothing more than being able to get them off the field on 2 or 3 drives. And that was the difference in the game. You know, you're going to score every time you get the ball. If you get that team to skip a couple of scores, they lose. And they lose by 8 points, it turns out, or, you know, they're being down big late. And that's basically what that game came down to. Yeah, the Chiefs will look at that game and say, oh, yeah, okay, I got you. We should have, you know, on this third down, if we wouldn't have had this incompletion or this tipped interception, or if Mahomes would have made this read, certainly the Raiders got some good turnovers from Mahomes. And that's the key. You've got to get them off the field, whether it's an interception or a fumble or just a missed third down, drop pass something. And that's the way the Chiefs lose. Now, for the Bills, on the other hand, you know, I think that game was a complete aberration in a lot of ways. A Tuesday night game, for one. The on-again, off-again nature of the preparation for the team just, I think, devastated their mentality walking into that game sharp as a team. You saw it in pre-snap penalties on Tuesday night. You saw it in 4 drop passes from 4 different people in the first half. You saw it in, interceptions, turnovers. just looked flat. And I think that was direct correlation to the way that game was played and the day it was played, how they found out they were going to play it, their how they were able to prepare or not prepare or be ready not to play that game. All of that played into the fact that the Bills just didn't show up ready, turned it over three times, and lost by 25. I mean, that was the story of that game.
And on the flip side of that, Steve, I mean, I remember sitting here, you know, a week ago Tuesday, and you predicted Tennessee would be really up and sky high and ready to show everyone, like, we're not the bad guys. And, like, I know it's easy to fit that into a narrative now because that's how the game ended up looking. The Titans certainly sounded like that was their mindset after the game, too.
Yeah, think about it. They were on death row, right? I mean, they were ejected from their own facility. They couldn't practice. They couldn't get together. They were in solitary confinement. And then, like, everybody on the team got a chance to get a free spring break trip with their buddies, right? I mean, that's the mentality. They were like, they had every excuse in the world not to play well. There was no pressure on them to win that game after being out of the building for 2 weeks. They came out, and they didn't care if they made any mistakes. They were going to play hard and play fast and play loose. And the emotion that carried into, particularly in the early success with the Bills coming out flat, it steamrolled for them. And that's the story of that game for the Titans, I think.
Chris, what do we know about players for this game here? A couple of injured guys. There were key injuries last week that I think – we'd all say really mattered in the outcome of that game, starting with Tre'Davious White. Who's back? Who's not?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to wait until we get these inactives here in just about 20 minutes or so, because as we all know, Tre'Davious White, John Brown, Matt Milano, all questionable for this game. And I was a little concerned seeing John Brown go from a full participant on Friday to a limited participant on Saturday with that knee injury. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, although the intensity of practice on Saturday is lesser than that on Friday, with everything moved up a week. Friday was their big pads practice, which usually is on a Thursday, but was moved back a day with the game on Monday, and he participated fully in that, which was encouraging. So I don't know, maybe they pulled him back, and that's why he was limited. Maybe it has nothing to do with the condition of his knee, and he can play tonight, because Steve and I were knocking it around like, hey, if you could have one of these three guys, Tre'Davious White, Matt Milano, or John Brown, you could only pick one, who would you want? And Steve said John Brown, and so did I, because even if you have Tre'Davious White shut down Tyreek Hill for the whole game or Travis Kelce for the whole game, there's still other weapons that can kill you. And the same for Matt Milano. You put him on Kelce and he shuts down Kelce the whole game, they have other weapons that can kill you. You almost want to be able to go toe-to-toe with them with all of your offensive weapons to try to keep pace, so to speak. And I think we both were in agreement on that. But, I mean, the availability, I think the hope is that White can play. He practiced all week. Milano seems perhaps a bit more iffy, knowing he was initially diagnosed as a week-to-week type guy by Coach McDermott 2 weeks ago. And hopefully John Brown participating fully on Friday is a good thing. But that limited designation on Saturday has me wondering. And then we also know that, according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, that two defensive linemen are going to be healthy scratches in Harrison Phillips and Trent Murphy, and that report was only strengthened by the fact that two defensive linemen were called up from the practice squad in the form of Justin Zimmer and Brian Cox Jr., who they're not going to get called up, guys, unless they're going to play. So there we are. And we heard Coach Frazier talk last week about reducing the number of players rotating through, or maybe the frequency with which they're rotated through, to get the best pass rushers on the field more often. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out defensively.
Just quickly, Chris, do you think this accomplishes that? Like, is that what the Bills are saying by this move?
I think they are trying to put more pass rushers on the field, yes. I would be of the opinion that Brian Cox is more of a pure pass rusher than, say, Trent Murphy. Justin Zimmer is more of a penetrator than Harrison Phillips. So from pure skill standpoint, yes, I would say those two moves are in response to that goal.
All right, well, of course, Phillip, it's a pretty major challenge getting to this guy. We'll see what they can do, Bulldog.
Yeah, really. And Phillips, I think, is really the one there to me. I mean, I know Murphy has a certain standing and a pretty hefty contract. But I don't know. I spent some time this spring and summer contemplating whether he'd even be on the team because of other, you know, other players and whether they might want to upgrade. And right. but Phillips was, I think, someone, especially with Star Lotulelei going out, like you might have hoped like he could pick up right where he left off before he got hurt, and maybe that was asking too much. Yeah. I'm curious, what, like, are you thinking his performance is suffering maybe because of that injury from last year?
Yeah, Coach Frazier has said as much in recent weeks that he's not all the way back yet, and I thought Harrison Phillips was very revealing right before the start of the season when he basically indicated he did not have one knee surgery but two. So he had the ACL knee surgery on the knee that he injured in the Cincinnati game last year, and then on his other knee he had another surgery which he did not detail the nature of, but he essentially had two knee surgeries, one on each leg. And so to expect him to come back and be the Harrison Phillips who was really coming on in the early stages of last season, I think, is unrealistic to expect. And Coach Frazier even said he's not the old Harrison Phillips yet. And so it sounds as though they're willing to be patient with him, but clearly they're at a point now where they want him to get back to the old Harrison Phillips, but maybe not playing quite as much as he has in recent weeks.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that they're starting to send a message about some players they want to play better on the defense. And I think by plugging in, if indeed they do, if they plug in, you know, Brian Cox Jr. and Justin Zimmer played in week one, if you remember, they're going to turn some guys loose tonight that are going to be highly, highly motivated. I think it says something about the mental state of the team last week coming out flat. They're going to put some guys in there who will be sky high with emotion to help that rotation and get these guys going on the sidelines and probably a little bit faster. I think Brian Cox Jr.'s got some speed. I think, as Chris said, Zimmer is a guy who is a penetrator like an Ed Oliver. I think they're going to get some guys in there who can chase Pat Mahomes around a little bit and hopefully get into the Chiefs' backfield. I think they want a different look up front than they've been getting, and I think they're getting there's two ways to look at it, and I think both of them are valid. One, it's a statement about the mental state that this team was in when they hit the field on Tuesday night last week, and it's also a statement about how they want this game to go up front against a Chiefs offensive line that's going to be without one of their starting guards.
Seems like it'll almost inevitably lead to more snaps for Jerry Hughes and Addison, and like we'll have to see how they handle that workload, and then maybe also Daryl Johnson, who's flashed, I think, in some very small opportunities already this year.
Yeah, and I think it's an opportunity for Epinesa too, because I think you have to remember, you need to still set the edge, and Epinesa fits the profile most closely resembled by Trent Murphy. He's a bigger guy, long player, goes about 265. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Epinesa on rundown, obvious rundowns per se, based on, you know, the Bills film study of the Chiefs and tendencies, obviously. I'm not saying he's going to get a ton of playing time, but I would anticipate he might be a beneficiary too. Maybe not to the degree of Daryl Johnson in a pass rushing role, but maybe in a set the edge type role just because of his girth and sturdy frame.
Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown. Countdown to kickoff here on the Bills Network with the Bills and Chiefs scheduled to go at 5 o'clock here in Week 6. Patrick Mahomes, of course, by now is, I'm sure, used to teams that are psyched up for him. I mean, what a challenge it would be for any defensive player to play against this guy as great as he's been. This really... It doesn't need to be said, the point here I'm going to make about how unfortunate it is that fans cannot attend this game. But, I mean, if there's ever a game where that can be said, and it's interesting to talk about, it would be this game, the weather notwithstanding, or maybe the weather just would make it that much more exciting and cool for Bills fans. You know, like, you want to make an impression on Mahomes. You want him to remember playing here, right? Because it's not going to be all the time. And the environment, of course, as we all know, and Steve, you lived it as a player, is just so special and what this franchise is kind of most famous for. So too bad that this game will happen without anybody there, as we all know.
It is too bad because, you know, at face value, this should have been a Thursday night game last week. And, you know, you can picture this place on a Thursday. I think back to when, you know, Thurman got his jersey retired and they had the red on, you know, the red seats lit up and the place looked spectacular during that halftime show, and the, and how electric this place does get in a big moment like this, particularly when and unfortunately not so often in before the Sean McDermott era, it just wasn't a game where you'd come in thinking the Bills were going to look that good. You know, they had things had to go their way. They didn't. They weren't good enough, like we believe they are now, to go out and say, "Listen, we're going to win. We're going to score this. We're going to score points in this game. Let's see those guys stop us. We've got a chance to hang some points up on this team, and we're going to do it." A team that was good, a team with high expectations, not just for diehard Bills fans, but for disconnected media members from the West Coast. Who know what they're looking at. That's a fun place to be, and it, you're right. It's it stinks that fans can't come in and enjoy this after what has been, you know, such a long period. I mean, it's been since my career that they've had a home playoff game, and these meaningful games have just been too few and too far between.
Right. This would be your chance to sort of show the country, if you will. Like this, right. Hey, we've got a good team now, and this, you know, we're here to celebrate that. And you know, not the case.
We had some callers today, and you know, the general census was, you know, this isn't a must-win game this early in the season, but it is a game where you show what you've got, and even in a losing effort, the Bills wanted to stay competitive and make it go down close and in. And I think that kind of reference, and I said this earlier in the day, you know, this team's better than that. They don't want to come in here and just, you know, grab some respect nationally. They think this is a game they need to win. I said this too. The AFC is starting to turn into the SEC. I mean, one loss and you're out of the playoff, right? I mean, you can't win the national championship now because you're going to have two losses. There's some really good football teams playing right now, and most of them center around the offense. And that's fun to have a team that is right in the thick of that with this quarterback, these weapons, and this culture that they built here in Bills country.
Well, you know, last week, of course, in Tennessee was a step back for the offense, and how much we want to put that on John Brown not being available, I guess, can be debated. In Josh Allen, who set such a sky-high standard through four games, I mean, it was a tougher night for him. Not throughout, but the bad interception late and just overall the Bills, well, 16 points. So, Chris, like, is that something there? I mean, you're concerned about, you're sort of thinking that maybe something has changed about how teams will play against Allen and the Bills, or is it something maybe where anybody can have a bad night?
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to read that due to the absence of one player. I mean, I think John Brown's absence was felt last week. Don't get me wrong. I don't know if it was the reason why they lost. I think the one thing that I found interesting, and Steve and I did discuss this on the show today as well, was through the first four games, the distribution of the football was among 8 to 9 players every single week in the passing game. And those numbers went down last week, certainly through the first half of the game. When I think most people would agree the game was largely decided. Cole Beasley did not have a single target in the first half. The ball was somewhat being force-fed to Stephon Diggs, and I understand why. He was getting open. But I think Josh's scope of the field was narrowed a little bit without John Brown being in the lineup. It's my opinion, and people might differ with this, but it's my opinion that
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Josh Allen trusts John Brown more than anyone else in the passing game. It's because of the time spent on the field together. If you remember, Cole Beasley missed the entire offseason last year with core muscle surgery. That's not to say he doesn't trust Cole Beasley. I think he trusts everybody on his roster. And he's still building his relationship with Diggs, which has got off to a fantastic start. But if you want the money guy for Josh Allen, to me it's John Brown. Now, that may change over time, and it may drift more to Diggs as we get through more and more games. But he loves that guy. And I just think he's a security blanket at a level that Diggs, in his short time here, has not yet reached. Will he get there? Probably. But I think not having John, it just took away from a little bit of security that Josh steps onto the field with when he's trying to execute in this passing game. I think that's how he was missed last week.
We will get the inactives within a few minutes here and talk more about today's or tonight's game. I think it's a day game. 5 o'clock.
It's an afternoon's game. I think. It's an afternoon game to me.
What did the old TV guides call it? Evening was technically 6 p.m.
Right? Yes. Man, well, I don't want to be unanimous on this. I might have to change.
Well, the majority of the game is going to be played in the evening hours, so it's tonight's games. Knock it off, you guys.
Not yet.
I don't know.
Rain expected.
What if it was an 8-hour game and it started at noon?
I don't know if I would agree with Bulldog. I don't think this is our bone to pick right now.
Yeah, sports radio.
Let's pick our battles, right?
These guys will argue about
anything.
Listen,
I'm the oldest among us. I know all about the early call buffet dinners and all that stuff. It's evening, all right?
Just early bird specials.
Are you really older than Steve?
I don't think you're older than me. I'm 58.
No. Oh, okay. No. Oh, well, you got
nice
me
try.
By 3 years, buddy.
Nice
all
try,
right.
Bulldog.
I tried.
Sit down.
Right.
Sit down.
I'm the oldest. I'll tell you how it is.
You look younger and fit. It's all the makeup in those West Hurrians. That's what it is.
Rides the gator to the booth.
Yeah, right. That's right.
More.
I did leave the walker at home today.
The walker. Countdown to kickoff. Bills and Chiefs tonight. Today, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Steve Tasker, Chris Brown. We'll be right back. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
You know, at any given time, the play can break down. And with Josh, he has a strong arm. So you're never really out of the play. You're never really out of the play. You always got to find a crease for him or find a place to get open. And a lot of things on the side, scramble rules, drills. But the stuff that's off the book, I guess, and stuff that can't plan for, he excels at. He can put the ball wherever you need it to be. And even at the times where, you don't know where the DB is, and you just got to trust him that he's going to lead you in the right direction. He hasn't felt this yet. So just got to continue to trust him and be there for him.
Welcome back to Countdown to Kickoff. Stephon Diggs talking about Josh Allen there, much in the way that you hear players talk about Patrick Mahomes. The quality of his play, the creativity, the throws he makes that we've just never seen guys attempt, or at least attempt successfully. These throws across his body, across the field. I mean, announcers have been telling me forever, don't do that. They've been saying, don't do that. And here's Mahomes, who is kind of, it's a big part of his game. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on the Dunn Tire Roundtable, brought to you by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills, joined for another segment by Chris Brown of BuffaloBills.com and Steve Tasker. I learned from last week that this is all we do, so sorry about last week if that was awkward. I didn't realize you guys weren't going the whole hour with us here.
Totally forgiven.
Thanks. So, Mahomes, Steve, what does he sort of represent to you in terms of how he plays, the success he's had, at such a young age, MVP already, Super Bowl MVP, this guy's breaking records.
He is, and it's interesting you said that, where he's doing this stuff that, you hear announcers say it because you hear coaches say it,
right.
Don't throw the ball late over the middle, and obviously you look where you're throwing it, where he's thrown it, where he was no look passes. He does stuff and accomplishes things that most players are coached never to try. When you have success doing stuff like that and it goes your way, you turn into legendary status. You get legendary status pretty quickly. And his status as a league MVP in his first year as a starter, second year overall, and then going to MVP of the Super Bowl in his third year, hard to imagine a more meteoric rise. And you think back about Dan Marino when he took the Dolphins to the Super Bowl as such a young player. All of that stuff, all of that pales in comparison to what Mahomes has done. And we thought Dan Marino was, the greatest. And here Mahomes in his 3 years has done twice what Dan Marino was able to do. So it's astonishing. No question about it that Andy Reid, when he traded up to get Patrick Mahomes, traded with the Bills, of course, to get Patrick Mahomes, he had total faith in his ability to evaluate what he was looking at in Mahomes and also to get it out of him when he finally did put him on the field. And tip your hat to the Chiefs organization for having a guy like Andy Reid there and, of course, to Andy Reid for all he's done with the Chiefs in his tenure as head coach.
You know, it might sound ridiculous to make this observation now considering Mahomes' resume and Allen is really just getting started and playing catch-up here, you know, and came into the league a year later than Mahomes as well. But I felt like coming out of college, there were a number of similarities in the way these two players were described and maybe even described by scouts, I guess. You know, just I'm generalizing here, but there was, you know, prodigious arm talent, but there was a tendency to take chances unnecessarily and break free of framework and play sort of sandlot. And of course, you know, Mahomes was at a bigger program, not the biggest, but a bigger program than Josh Allen was. But I always thought it was interesting that they were described similarly coming out. And those things, breaking framework, playing sandlot, now seem to be somewhat of a template for, yes. Certainly is one that Mahomes has made. Allen, I think, is following suit. And I think we'll probably see more and more players who are capable of doing that end up on teams because of Mahomes' success.
Yeah, and you just have to know that you have to have faith in your coaching staff from a player development perspective that you can harness what might be initially viewed as what you just said, Bulldog, which is, you know, hero ball, call it whatever you want, hero ball, sandlot football, taking unnecessary risk. Is there a way to harness that where your offense can play consistent enough football that leaves enough room for some of that improvisational ability that at times can win you a football game? And I think they've found a way in Kansas City to have Patrick Mahomes' unique skill set fit within the structure of their offense and do that. And the Bills, I think, have here in year three found a similar way for some of Josh's off-script abilities to work more in the Bills' favor offensively than against them. It wasn't the case the first 4 weeks of the 2019 season. I mean, we all remember week four against the Patriots when you can make the argument that he kind of single-handedly lost a, what ended up being a six-point game to the Patriots in week four. But he fixed it after that to a great degree, and he's probably taken that another step here in year three.
Yeah, I would agree with Chris. And you see these players come out, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, even Russell Wilson has done that in their ability to go off the page and extend plays. And I was reading a stat that it's from Next Gen Stats. Josh Allen is second in the league with a 134 passer rating on plays that he has extended. He's third in the league on the percentage of passes that happens on. It's 17.5% of his passes. They happen on plays where he has extended it. He's first in completions on extended plays with 20 completions. He has on 33 attempts. He's got 331 passing yards, 4 touchdown passes on plays that he has extended. And it takes me back to young Ben Roethlisberger. Remember that Steelers team? When you have enough stuff around them that works good, you can have players who are deficient in one area but prolific in another and win games. Ben Roethlisberger couldn't read defenses, and all their passing game was off the page. But they had Jerome Bettis and a great running game and a stellar defense. So Ben Roethlisberger could throw it 17 times, 5 of which were off the page scrambles and make big plays out of them, and they win the Super Bowl that way. Now Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs and the Bills and Josh Allen, they seem to be built a lot alike. Their defenses are giving you what they can give you, maybe a play here and there that give you an extra possession, but it's all about your quarterback and all the weapons he has to distribute to. And I think this fact that Mahomes and Josh Allen extend plays now and again and make things happen is part of what you have to count on, even though it's unscripted, because defenses are that good, and the running game hasn't become as big a factor as you'd like it to.
89 and 19, that's regular season only, Mahomes touchdowns to interceptions for his young career. Bills by the numbers, brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, or Chiefs by the numbers in this case, I guess. Time now for the inactives list, brought to you by Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break? Get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. So of the three, Chris, that we mentioned earlier, talked about the key players who missed last week's game, the Bills are getting two back.
That's right. So John Brown is up tonight, and so is Tre'Davious White. So some help on offense and some help on defense. Matt Milano, the only guy down from those three key questionable players, along with T.J. Yeldon, and then, you know, Trent Murphy, Harrison Phillips, and Dawson Knox, who was already declared out over the weekend, and Quinton Spain, who was another questionable player, along with Jake Fromm, the quarterback. For the Chiefs, no real surprises there. We knew Le'Veon Bell was not eligible to play in this game due to the COVID on-ramping protocols. Sammy Watkins, who was already declared out, along with Kelechi Osemele, and then running back DeAndre Washington, linebacker Darius Harrison, defensive end Damone Harris. So it'll be interesting to see how much both of those players can give for the Bills. Hopefully they are good to go, like 100%, and can play the whole way, because both of those guys are two of the higher playtime percentage players on their respective sides of the ball. So something to keep an eye on for sure.
Also, Zach Moss is in.
Yes, and I've been banging the drum to Steve's going to laugh at this. They've run this very sparingly this season, but it's their split back 20 personnel package where they have Moss and Singletary flanking Josh in the shotgun with three wide receivers. I just think that puts an inordinate amount of stress on a defense with all the options that you have at your disposal when you put that package on the field. In years past, they've called it their pony package when they have split backs. I don't know if they still call it that. But I like that package a lot, and I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of it tonight, because I just think it affords you so many options in the passing game. It's too much for one defense to handle, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting, Mike, that
Steve's still laughing at me about it.
Well, I mean, we everybody's been like acting like, wow, we really miss Zach Moss. He's had 20 touches for the year.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't even know what we got. Right?
So,
let's get him on the field, see what he can do. And I told Brownie this, too. I went back and watched the games he was in. It was the first two games of the season, the Jet and Miami game. From one week to the other, as a player, I kind of looked for subtle things, and I could tell he was a little bit of a different player week two. After he'd gone through a game, gone through the film study, gone through a lap in the league where, you know, okay, we did play well, I got some carries, here's what they said about it, here's what I felt like, here's what it looked like. He stepped it up with his energy when he had the ball in his hands the next week. I thought he was a little bit of a different player week two than he was. And, of course, then he didn't play since. But I think Zach Moss is going to be really, really a different player as this season rolls on. We've talked about it, you know, about Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes and all these guys. Both these coaching staffs develop players really well. So players who start a little bit iffy always get better. And even good players do that. I think Zach Moss is one of those players we're going to watch get much better over the course of the next three or four games if he indeed is in there and plays in all of them.
Quickly, you want to speak to what you made of the Bills' interest in Le'Veon Bell? Like, how does that fit into this puzzle?
Yeah, I mean, I think if they see an upgrade in their eyes, what they believe to be an upgrade, they're going to kick the tires. And I think they also realize, guys, they're in an arms race here in the AFC. And there are going to be other teams at the top of the conference. They're going to be looking at Le'Veon Bell the same way the Bills were. You know, Bell ultimately chose what he felt was going to give him the best opportunity at a Super Bowl ring. And, you know, I get it. It's hard to argue with the defending Super Bowl champs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a rookie there that's had his issues in short yardage. I mean, as amazing and as talented as Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, especially in space, on the flanks, short yardage and running between the tackles hasn't been an easy go for him, and they just lost, arguably, their best pile-pushing offensive lineman in Kelechi Osemele, who is regarded as one of the leaders of that unit, kind of a John Feliciano type, if you will. So Bell is 6'1", 225. I think they see him as a guy that can help them between the tackles, certainly in the passing game as well, but between the tackles chiefly, where Edwards-Helaire doesn't get quite the push. So I think they see him as a viable addition for themselves. You can make the argument that Zach Moss and T.J. Yeldon can provide the between-the-tackles pile-pushing type running that the Chiefs were looking for in terms of getting from Bell. So I don't know. Will it make a difference? I still think he's a dynamic pass catcher as a running back. Where it goes and what his workload is, I think we're just going to all have to wait and see for them. But for the Bills, yeah, they're going to look. Anything they think can upgrade them, they're going
to
look.
Yeah, I think we hear more about the Bills' willingness to kick the tires on every single really good player that comes down. I think they look at all of them, and I think they do go a step further than maybe most teams. I mean, I think they reach out and find out what's going on with that player, why are they leaving, what's their mindset, what are their thoughts about playing for the Bills. I still think that holds a lot of weight with his coaching staff and front office. They want to know what that guy feels about Buffalo and this team in the present moment. And I think they reach out. And I think, you know, I think it's a smart thing to do. In fact, I have long thought that's their job, right? The good players out there, you need to know about them, what it takes to get them on your team, and if it works. So I have no problem at all with them checking it out on every great player, and even the ones who aren't great. You got to know about those guys. So I think that's where the Bills are, and it's become almost commonplace now. If there's a big name out there, the Bills, you can bet, have checked out what it's going to take to get him on their team and whether they want him or not.
Guys, enjoy the night.
Go ahead. That's fine.
Yeah, we got to go. Sorry. Steve, yep. Chris, thanks a lot.
No problem, guys.
Guys, enjoyed it. Thanks.
All right, me too. Bulldog, did you enjoy that?
Oh, sure.
Good. Just wanted to make sure.
Especially that part where I found out Steve's 3 years older than me.
Yes.
That was a real highlight
for me. We all found that out. Hey, if you are like us, you might want a great craft beverage for this game tonight and for the season. One of the go-tos is Southern Tier IPA, brewed locally here in our backyard, delivered fresh daily from Chautauqua Lake. Southern Tier IPA, a staple for years, another great option. Lakeshore Fog, one of the juiciest IPAs on the Buffalo craft beer scene. Get yours at your favorite beer store or go to stbcbeer.com. Southern Tier Brewing Company, brewed and loved in the 716. Southern Tier Brewing Company, Lakewood, New York. Got to be 21 years or older. Don't forget. Bills and Chiefs coming up at 5 Eastern. Countdown to kickoff continues next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, your hosts. This is Buffalo Bills football.
I mean, it doesn't really affect me, you know what I'm saying? Like I always say, you got to stay locked in. Passing's been working for us. Of course, we got to get the run game going. It's not what we want it to be. But it doesn't really affect me as far as getting in the rhythm or anything.
That's Devin Singletary. He might have his workload cut into by Zach Moss, who is back active after missing 3 games. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on Countdown to Kickoff. Bills and Chiefs in an hour and 9 minutes. The injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Matt Milano out. Trey White, John Brown in for the Bills today. Kansas City, Sammy Watkins will miss the game. They knew that pretty much right after last week's game when the Chiefs lost to the Raiders, that Watkins would not be available with his latest injury as a hamstring problem, so no Sammy Watkins revenge game here, Bulldog, sadly.
I'll miss him.
Get him out of your lineups.
Yep.
At this point, I mean, it's Monday. Hopefully you have your lineups right.
Hopefully you did that. Yeah, you did the right thing yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's connect with our fantasy fans. Presented by Nextiva, by Premcom, the official telephone systems provider of the Buffalo Bills and Sabres. Power your business connection with Premcom. I tweeted about how our colleague Jeremy White is a little bit of a predicament, the kind of thing that a lot of football fans like to avoid, which is basically in a guillotine league of ours where if you finish last, whoever finishes last in a given week is eliminated from the league. Your season's over. And pretty much, without getting too specific, Jeremy needs a big game from Tyreek Hill. Yeah. So that can be complicated.
Yeah, that can. Yeah, you don't, you know, that, you know, I get, you know, there's a scenario in there where you win either way, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But, that's the spirit.
Yeah, but, you know, that's, you know, the greater good, the Bills beating the Chiefs would be sacrificed probably in that respect. I have no such dilemma. I'm chasing. I don't know that I'll catch up, but I've got Kyler Murray going tonight in the late Monday night game. I love the sound of that, the late Monday night game.
Yes.
we all love these earlier kickoffs on Monday nights, and then still a normal as scheduled game later on at 8 o'clock. I've got Murray, and I'm playing against Edwards-Helaire and the Chiefs defense. So, like, I'm like,
you're
my
set.
Rooting is not conflicted at all. That's perfect. I mean, I obviously Murray's not in this game. He's not till later. But, you know, the Bills do well and hold down the Chiefs and put points up on them and don't turn it over. That's good for me.
Plus, he's playing against Dallas, and rooting against Dallas is kind of like rooting for the Bills.
That's right.
It's easy.
It all works. Right.
Kyler Murray seems easy to root for. Well, good luck, everybody. Our fantasy segment brought to you by Geico. Great news. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's playbook for more than 75 years. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, so easy a caveman can do it. The late Monday night game. So in recent years, the NFL has put a doubleheader on Mondays in week one. There was, for a minute there last week, a Broncos-Patriots game scheduled for early Monday, but that ended up being postponed to yesterday for reasons we're well aware of. This game, 5 o'clock on a Monday, there are not many of those. I looked up, I wanted a Monday afternoon game in NFL history, and I went to profootballreference.com, which is where you go for these things, and found two. Now, this doesn't necessarily go back all the way the 100 years of this league, but 3 years ago, there was a Monday afternoon game on Christmas, Pittsburgh and Houston, which they put as part of a doubleheader. It might have even been week 17 or 16, but there was a Monday afternoon game in Houston, 3:30 local time. And in 1984, week one, Cleveland at Seattle was on a Monday afternoon in Seattle, 1 o'clock there. And Wikipedia says that they did that because the Mariners had a baseball game on the Sunday, so the building was unavailable. Don't we sort of know those things usually and can avoid
yeah.
That, but.
Yeah, usually. Well, if it's this late in the year, that would have been a playoff game, so that wouldn't have been scheduled for the Mariners, I mean. That wouldn't have been scheduled ahead of time.
No, not in that case. That was like September 3rd or September
4th. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay,
yeah.
My bad. Okay,
so I don't know why they ran into that, but.
That's kind of weird, yeah. Well.
Chuck Knox's Seahawks team hosted the Browns week one on a Monday afternoon in 1984. Again, there are not many, but this is not unprecedented. If you consider 5 o'clock in the afternoon, even in the first place, that's up to you. We're not here to tell you whether to do that.
I am, actually. It's the evening.
You are until you found out Steve was older than you. You were. So, Bills and Chiefs, a big game, a cool game. Mahomes and the Chiefs here to play the Bills. Of course, we're not there, but, you know, we'll make the best of it. How can the Bills do against the Super Bowl champs? We are closer to finding out. And we'll talk to Sal Capaccio about some of the lineup decisions and strategy for this game when we return. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on Countdown to Kickoff. This is Buffalo Bills football.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.